It's such a pleasure. As Janet says, I'm an emotional guy. And you know when you recognize that God's working in your life? Wow! I don't know if anyone else has moved as deep as me, but when you think that God loves us so much that he's chosen us as his children to serve his will and his purpose, it's moving. Hence the tissues are there for all of us. It's fantastic though, isn't it? Because God is great. God is glorious. And I just pray tonight that I do not let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful for building everyone here tonight to your needs, that it may benefit all of you that listen tonight. And I pray also that God's words fill my heart and he does the same for me and benefits that growth. Because those of you who were here last time when we had the opportunity to share what God did for Nehemiah, the four C's, it was that first one of the four C's, if I just jog your memory and we go back, it was 6 months ago. It was Nehemiah, the praying builder, communication. We've all been given a wonderful gift of communication by God. And we have to use it wisely because God has given us the voice to speak to him. But then what we've got to do, and I've learned this so much over the years, is listen to God and his message of what he's actually saying to us. Abba Father, speak to my heart, speak to my life. Show me your will, not my will. Show me your way. Show me what you want me to do with your life. And I know when you come to God and God starts revealing those things, I'm thinking, wow, I'm living. I'm truly living because it's his will and it's his purpose. And it's with that tonight that I want to share what I really feel that God said. Because it was only the day after we spoke about Nehemiah and the four C's that I was talking with Jesus. I was praying with God. And I said, Abba, Father, what have you to say to me? And I was blessed to have 10 beautiful minutes in silence. And then I had this overwhelming feeling. And I had to rush home and get a pen and paper. And I got the paper out and I scribbled and I scribbled and I scribbled. 1 page, 2 pages, 3 pages, 4. I didn't want to put the pen down. And I carried on writing 4 pages, 5 pages and 6 pages. And eventually the pen came to a rest on my paper. And when I read back the notes afterwards, it was amazing what God had delivered. I felt so humbled that he'd given it to me, this message that he delivered, because he delivered me something that was called the gifts of prayers. And prayers are a wonderful way of communicating to our Heavenly Father. And it's if prayer can come into our life every single day, we can truly start to live for his purpose. We can truly start to see what he's got revealed for our lives. Because God infects us with love and faith. And then he blesses us with thanksgiving. And then strengthens our relationship found in Christ Jesus. Because God so loved the world that he sent us his one and only Son. He sent us his one and only Son. And, you know, God is grace in action. And God wants us to love not by words alone, but he wants us to love with actions. Because Jesus Christ is love in action. Jesus Christ is love in action. And when God comes into your life, you know, you want to go out and change people. You want to go out and give him what he's given you. And I've learned over the years that we can't force salvation on people. But if we reach out to others with grace and love, it can make it possible for God to act. And like I say, God is grace. Jesus is love. And Gary's taking some of my notes. And when he was delivering this message of the gifts of prayer, I changed nothing. I just want to speak to you how God spoke it to me and share with you tonight. Because God wants us to pray. And sometimes in our everyday life, you know, that can be really hard to do. Praying can be really hard to do every single day. But it should always be our aim. You see, when we're praying to God, I truly believe that we can only find that purpose in God if we practice. If we practice, it's like a friendship with each other. The more we talk to each other, the more we listen, the more we get to know. And as we're praying to God, he wants us to be patient. He wants us to practice, but then he wants us to persevere with that, because that is what brings you to that purpose. And the great thing is, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. You know, the Apostle James teaches us, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask God and he'll give. God is generous. God loves us. And the beautiful thing about prayers is you can put things at the foot of the cross. You can intercede. But what's also beautiful about prayer is finding that true purpose found in Christ Jesus. So, just before Christmas, I was talking to my wife in the kitchen, and I'd noticed what's beautiful when Jesus Christ comes into people's lives. You can see him shining. You can see people, and they say, oh, can I have a bit of what you are like? I want a bit of you because there's something shining in you. And I noticed instant behavioral change in people. He did the same for me. Changed their lives. And it's beautiful. So we need to relax in the presence of the Lord. We need to relax. And what's great about God is, you know, he created all of us. He created all of us. And he wants us to relax. And he knows, because we're different, we all relax in different ways. I know, I pray every single day. And I pray in the car to work. And I know some people, when I talk to them, they like to pray in the bath. And I know some people like to go for a walk, like to be with the trees and the fields and the grass, enjoying God's creations, being close to him. Because I believe that we find God in stillness. We find God in quiet moments. And he wants us to relax in his presence. And then as we're relaxing in his presence, he's equipped us with all that we need to fulfill what he has predestined in us before the creation of time. And he wants us to rehearse over scripture. And he wants us to read the Bible. And he wants the Bible to come alive to us. And he loves it when we quote scripture, when we pray over scripture. Because that scripture comes alive. And when it jumps out the Bible at you, which I'm sure, that's great, I'm seeing heads nodding. When those scriptures come out and jump at you, it's brilliant, because your life can truly start to be living because God's communicating with us. And I just think the best way of retaining what God's put in there is by sharing it. You know, to live the Christian life, it's beautiful because there's no fear. The opposition is weak. By sharing, we can help each other grow. And as we grow and as we share, we're truly living, because we're not living with actions of fear that hold us back. We're living with actions of courage, actions of love. And it's that love that be sharing it with other people can grow. If God has a message for you, share it. It's incredible what it does for people's lives. And I think you've got to release it then. Release it. Like I said earlier, Jesus is love in action. And if all of our actions stem from kindness and from love, whatever the result of our actions, we've brought something of true value to each and every day. And I'll be honest with you, when I've released things, you know, I love to share, I love to try and, you know, bring God to people's lives, or, you know, let God do that. But I've also known there's another word called remove, which is similar to release. Because I went on a Freedom of Christ course, and for me, it's taking a train journey of life. You've packed the bag, you've got on the train, and you're on the journey of life. And you meet people, they touch your life. You meet people that change your life. You meet good things happen, challenging things happen, and you put them all inside the bag. Everything goes inside the bag. And they did for me. And when I did the Freedom of Christ course, I was able to ask the train driver, God, just to stop, so we could examine that suitcase. It was getting too heavy. It was weighing me down. And it was only when I opened the suitcase that I realized that there were things in there that I'd forgotten I'd even had. There were things in there that I realized, why did I bother keeping hold of that? It was time to release it. It was time to get rid of it totally. I found in there, if I'm truly honest with you, I found traces of pride. Now, I call them traces of pride, but God might have found more in there. And it was the time to remove all barriers. Remove all barriers of pride from the heart. And I could do nothing to save myself. I received him into my life with an act of faith and said, Jesus, come and have your way. Jesus taught us, come, follow me. And our response should be, come, have all of me. Come and have all of my life. Because what's great about Jesus, what's great about our Heavenly Father, if you give him a little bit of your heart, the size of a mustard seed, he can do great things. He can perform miracles. He can move mountains of things that are happening in our life. So if our Lord Jesus can do all this by giving him a tiny mustard seed in our heart, can you imagine what it's like if we give him the whole space? Give him all the area in your heart to maneuver around. Give him every bit of the space. Give him every inch and let Jesus have his way. And I really believe that if we're doing that, we're truly making ourselves available to Jesus. We're truly making ourselves available to God. You see, God doesn't look at our status. He doesn't look at our job titles. He doesn't insist on positions in society. He doesn't look for our qualifications. He doesn't even check a bank balance. He doesn't see us the way the world sees us. He doesn't look to our ability. God looks for our availability. And one thing that I pray every single morning, and I feel God is encouraging as many of you to do it today, is am I making myself truly available to Jesus Christ? Open your hearts and give it to him all. Make us available tonight, Jesus. I'd just like to share a prayer with you that I found. It's incredible how God works when you're coming to talk about things that are happening. Tell God all that is in your heart as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pain, to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you overcome them. Talk to him of your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifferences to good, your depraved taste of evil. Tell him how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself and others. Tell him he's your friend. I think we're on why now, Gary, just so people can just look back on where we've been. So we've looked at the purpose, what God's revealing to us, making ourselves available. And when I read that prayer, oh, it's a beautiful prayer. God just wants you to be you. Like you'd speak to a friend in confidence, never lacking things to say. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord, because he just wants you to be you. And that's so beautiful. That's so encouraging, because each and every one of us have been chosen for a different purpose. When we look at our fingerprints, our identities are all different. So it's great that we can be valued by God just for being us, accepted for the purpose that we've been given. And it's really important that we don't look at other people and other people's lives and say, I want to be like them. Can I have a bit of what they've got? Don't do that. I've been there, and it can be very destructive. It's human nature. We do it. Do you know, we've got Jesus in our life, and the opposition, he's crawling around waiting for a chink in that armor, and we don't give him one. Yeah, we never give him one. Why? Because we're loved. Why? Because we are we. And if we're looking at somebody else that inspires us and we want to have their knowledge and we want to share what they've got, just remember that other person is part of the body of Christ just like I am. And let that be gone. Let God show you his will. Let God show you his way. And it is always with love. And he will always bring you to your own purpose. Because there is a reason for our pain. There is a reason for our struggles. And a gift for your faithfulness is don't give up. Keep that relationship with God. Keep you for being you. Because God will humble the exalted and exalt the humble, if that's right. Thank you, Janet, for nodding. Earlier I spoke about when I got this gift of prayer. I rushed home and got my pen and paper. And I don't know if there's anybody here that does that. You've got a little journal, you've got your pen, you've got your paper close. It's just great because you're actually raising expectations and saying, you know, expecting God to speak to us. You know, and it's fantastic. You know, even if you're recording, you know, the scriptures that you're praying over, it's the Holy Spirit's way of guiding you and helping you and helping you grow and develop on your journey through Christ. So be humbled with God and expect him to talk. I have heard stories of really mature Christians actually hearing him talk, and he talks through the conscience. It's a lot grainier and it's a lot deeper. It excites me knowing that if I continue to pray and we continue to pray, it excites me that we may also have that opportunity before he calls us home to our heavenly home. And rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has gave. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because we have challenges in our life. You know, Jesus didn't live a life that was easy. Jesus had challenges in his life, and we also have that. But regardless of what challenges we're having in our life, God is great, God is glorious, God has never changed. I think it says in Jeremiah, it's like, I do everything, I do things to prosper you, not to harm you. You know, if we're in a place where we don't want to be right now, just remember, God never wastes an opportunity, never. He'll use whatever you're going through for our good and his glory. So rejoice. And as Christians, as we're praying to rejoice, we'll meet people. And we've got jobs to do to God. And people will be saying, that's great, Steve, that's great. But, you know, I don't always feel like rejoicing. I turn on the television and I see hurt. I see lives that are hurt, communities that are hurt. I turn on the TV and see the papers and I see tragedies. There are tragedies going on in the world all the time. There's hurt. But this is where I know God wants to encourage all of us as Christian people to walk and talk to our brothers and sisters and remind them that Jesus Christ's ministry was one of healing. And where there is hurt, there's an opportunity for healing. And where there is tragedy, there's a great opportunity for triumph. You see, we have to look no further than Jesus Christ's death on the cross. What looked at our hero's biggest defeat was an achievement. As he took his last breath, the light of the world went out. For 3 days, there must have been confusion for his disciples. There must have been so much confusion. The Savior had come, yet the light of the world was extinguished. But it wasn't a tragedy. As we all know, it was a great triumph, because Jesus says, he rose from darkness to defeat darkness. And he showed us great tragedy, great triumph. So as we're talking, let's remember, yeah? Where there is hurt, there is healing. Where there is tragedy, there is triumph. And to make all of our prayers come together, the thing that's really changed my life, because before I came over to Oasis Christian Center, I considered myself to be a Christian. And now I consider myself to be a disciple. And the difference between both of those is a Christian's got their faith. I was blessed with my faith. But a disciple is always learning. You know, God's come into our lives, yeah, so we can learn. God has come into our life so we can continue to do the good work that was set out 2,000 years ago, that we can continue to walk in courage and in faith and in love, that we can continue to be fishermen. Yeah, we can continue to bring people to Jesus. You see, it touches me. When you think about your families, you think, right, they stretch back. What's the linking with Jesus for 2,000 years ago? But someone's passing the relay baton all the time onto us. And now my wife and I are so blessed and honored that we're thinking we're passing that relay on to our children. That is always being passed on. And the thing that's brought it all together for me is God said, I will send you the helper. And that same spirit that was inside Jesus when he rose is inside us, and it's still that same spirit today, working in our lives, touching our lives, changing our lives. How much more will the Heavenly Father give of the Holy Spirit for those who ask him? And since we live with the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit is amazing. I pray for the Spirit in overflowing, because I know when words are hard to find, it pours out on other people. The Spirit is overloading, and we can give that to people, which is truly inspirational. I think I just want to say one thing about the Lord's Prayer, because there's enough to speak about there for a whole week. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that word will always really gets me, because he's not saying it could be done and it might be done and it may be done. It's a real powerful statement saying it will be done. My will be done. And all we've got to do is trust him. All we've got to do is trust him. And it will be done. He will reveal greatness in each and every one of our lives here tonight. If we just say, come and have your way. Thy will be done. You know, Jesus Christ, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. So the Father's communicated it. Jesus has communicated it. Again, it's that word, I will. So brace yourself here tonight, yeah? Because whatever you're asking in Jesus' name, he is going to do. Yeah, and I just pray tonight when he sends us out here, the will that he's brought into our hearts, he's put into our spirit, and he's overflowing from every part of us, that we go and infect our communities with that, that we go and infect our marriages with that we go and infect everybody whose lives we touch. Because the world is crying out for transparency. The world is crying out for someone to just stand up and say, you know what, away from stats, away from figures, away from political agendas, just tell us the truth. The truth is that we have all been born with a purpose in Jesus Christ. We've all been born to serve, and we've all been born to serve to his will and his way. And anybody that's lost distraction at the moment, anybody who's lost their way, there's still that chance. So I remind you again, you know, we can't reach out to people and change them for ourselves. Only God can do that. But if we bring grace and love into all our actions, he will act. He will act. And I think as Christians, we've got to keep going on what it says in the Bible about do not conform yourselves to patterns of this world. The world's upside down. Yeah, 2,000 years ago it said that. Let's not conform ourselves to patterns of the world. One of the greatest achievements in life, in a world that's constantly trying to change us, is to remain us, to remain who we are, to remain true when we see Lord Jesus Christ, when we sit at the right hand of the Father, that we've remained true to the purpose that he's given, not by our will, but by his. And I'm so excited about each and every one of you here tonight, and I'm so excited that he's in control. So when people say it can't be done like that, read the Bible, yeah? Because we will go on, and we will make a difference, and we will reach out with love, and we will change the world. Because we don't know, we might be speaking to someone down the road, we might share a smile, we might share a laugh, and they might be on an aeroplane going up to another country far from here, and they spread that word, and they spread that laugh. Yeah, it's incredible how infectious, yeah, the good word is, how good God works. And I just pray again, dear Lord, when we leave here today, we speak about all the good things that are happening here. We pray and we say, all the great churches in the world, it doesn't matter if they're C of E, it doesn't matter if they're evangelism, what we call it, Oasis Evangelism Church. It's all God's way of bringing people together for his faith and his love. Because he wants to get that message over to people the way it's better suited for them. And we can question God's wisdom, but that's only if all our prayers and requests were answered by God in the way we wished and the way we wanted them to come out, we could question God's wisdom. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, sometimes you hear people give up on prayer lives because I prayed for that and he never delivered. Well, it's because your prayer's wrong. And God's going to tell us is our Heavenly Father, and he loves us, and he doesn't want anything bad to be in our lives. So if our prayer isn't right, he simply says no. Simply says no. And sometimes when the timing isn't right, we think of things in the flesh. Over the last 2 years, I want to think more in the Spirit, because when we think in the Spirit, we're thinking more in line with Jesus. But we are in human form, and it's easy to think of life in the flesh. And if our timing isn't right, he answers our prayers slow. You know, sometimes you'll pray about things and, you know, I need to know the answer, God. Please help me now. I need the answer, God. He will reveal that at the right time. And I promise you that. I know it's so encouraging coming here tonight, and I'm seeing heads nodding, because we know it's true. We know God will reveal it at the right moment, at the right time, for the right purpose. Not by our will, but by his. Because he's got all his children to consider. He's got all of us to consider of how he pulls it all together. And I have a great desire to serve the Lord. I might already be doing it by working, as people know, I work with a variety of different age groups as a sports coach. Maybe already I'm doing that, but I still have a desire and a hunger to know him. And God said to me on many occasions, just keep growing. Just keep growing. Do you know, I've never been happier with my relationship with Jesus than I am right now in my life. And it really touches me, because every single day is growing something. I'm learning more. I've even got to know who I am as a person, because he's revealing it. I'm not forcing things and knocking down doors saying, we've got to do this today. Might be gone tomorrow. You'll go when you're called by his will. You see, when everything's ready and everything's in place, God's just going to say to us, go. Go, 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 go. You've done your training. You're ready to be released. We have to look no further than Moses, do we? For 40 years, Moses lived the life in privilege. He lived the life of a Pharaoh. And then he was sent out into the wilderness for his own action. And what can be more humbling than being sent out into the wilderness as a lowly shepherd, a job he was clearly overqualified to do? But this is where God's greatness came in to that story. Because what greater opportunity had Moses than to learn about hurting people hurting then like they're hurting now? And then he led them to the exile, and it was like the training ground pitch, wasn't it? 40 years in a palace, 40 years in the wilderness. What better way to defeat the opposition than knowing them, than of living that life? God's great. So if the request isn't right, he answers no. If the timing isn't right, he answers slow. If you aren't ready yet, his answer is grow. When everything's ready and right, his answer is go. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you. I'd like to pray. Can we pray together? Oh, dear Lord, I just pray that you'll come to us now. Come to us now. Fill this room with your presence. Fill this room with your love. Fill this room with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Touch your faithful children, dear Lord. Touch them and bless them and love them and guide them and care for them, dear Lord. You've got precious children here, precious faithful children that have got jobs to do for you every day. I pray that we can go out and love our neighbours. I pray we can go out and show the world what it's like to be kind and loving and giving and sharing. Because I know how good those feelings are, dear Lord, and I know with you putting those into our heart and us sharing it with other people, we're going to have great effects on the community and further afield. And I pray, dear Lord, that it's your will and it's your purpose. And I pray that we can continue to pray and be patient with a prayer and find a purpose with a prayer. Because the more we trust in you, the more you will reveal our purpose, dear Lord. And I pray that all of our hearts, all the children here at Sawley tonight, I pray that the hearts will be opened. The hearts will be open to overflow in, and they're available to you in every way. Continue to love them, dear Lord. Let them be them. Let them be the person that you want them to be. And as they grow in you and find their identity in you, send them out in the world to work all your true love. And let us rejoice each and every moment. Each and every moment, recognizing when challenges come in our way, they're just mere hurdles to get over. All the things being sent to us to strengthen us, to take us on to the next step where God wants to take us. Because everything you do, dear Lord, is for a great purpose and for a great reason. And we're just so blessed you've chosen us to do this. And fill us, dear Lord, like you said, fill us to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that we may not just live with the Spirit, but keep in step with the Spirit. And with your love and giving all our dependency on you, life can truly begin for us and others whose lives we touch. And I pray that I've asked this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.